Hey, it's Big Joe for your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer, Absolute Comfort. Chris Wedekin is the owner, and he tells us why many homeowners are giving up their air conditioners for a high-efficiency heat pump.
By removing your air conditioner and replacing it with a heat pump, you are not only saving by getting a higher-efficiency air conditioner, the heat pump works in reverse and saves you money in the wintertime as well.
See if a heat pump is the right move for you by going to AbsoluteComfort.org. Absolute Comfort is your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com. Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, the program State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. How are you, my friend?
Robert, I am well. I hope you are too. Great Memorial Day weekend.
What'd you do? Anything fun?
Just really.
Your whole life is fun.
Well, the weather is beautiful, and I got to see all four granddaughters. Yeah. It was a very nice weekend.
All right, so a lot to get to today. Abdul's going to join us here in a little bit. We'll talk about what it was like to run for the mayor of Indianapolis. But first, Mike Pence. You know him, right?
Yes, 4 decades.
Yeah. Do you remember your first? So you were, of course, a state senator for 30 years. Right. He was the governor.
Yes.
For 3.5 very long years. And I guess technically he was the governor for 4 years. But do you remember when you first met Mike Pence?
Absolutely. Walked into a room at the Fiji Fraternity House, and here's this young man with...
Where was that?
At Hanover College.
Hanover College, yeah.
This young man that I was told that had an interest in politics, and we were both in college. I was at Indiana University, and he was at Hanover College. I walked in, and he had a blue sweatshirt with Hanover across the front, and we sat and talked about politics, and his hair was coal black back then. And, he's always been interested in politics, and we struck up a friendship from then on.
Did you ever think when you had that first meeting, that would have been in the 70s probably?
Uh-huh.
Maybe 80s, mm-hmm. 70s?
Yeah, 70s.
That he would someday be the vice president?
Yeah. No, I knew he wanted to run for office, but back in 1977, 78, 77, probably 78, I really had no idea that I was looking at the future vice president of the United States.
Well, we mentioned Mike Pence because it has come out now that as the former vice president, former governor of the state of Indiana, he is set to, according to multiple news sources, announce that he's going to run for president June the 7th in Iowa. Before I offer some opinion on this, because I had the great misfortune of working, I guess, technically under Pence for a period of time. What do you think?
Well, first of all, anytime anybody, including yourself, offers themselves to run for office and serve, I think it's kind of monumental. I look forward to his campaign announcement next week. He's seen the inside of the White House. He's seen the inside of Congress. He's been a governor. He's managed a state. And it will be very interesting to see where we go from here. I would expect Chris Christie to run. So the field will be large, and the vice president will, he's his own man. And I think that he will offer something different to the field that no one else has, and his experience in running the country.
I found his time as governor to be a colossal disappointment based on the things he said versus the things he accomplished. You were there, and I'm not saying that in a sense of I'm indicting the legislature, which I've done that plenty of times, but I'm saying for you, did you find that a disappointment? I mean, because it was grandiose speeches and bravado, and I mean, let's face it, he's remembered for the RFRA disaster and just in, and he didn't accomplish a whole heck of a lot the 4 years he was governor of the state.
Well, you got to look at the total picture with the legislature as we were with a solid majority in the House and the Senate, and there were successes there, and You know, he was accessible to me where other governors kind of weren't, if you know, get my drift. And so I...
How could someone not be accessible to you? You're the nicest guy in the state house.
Then Governor Pence and I got along really well. And he worked as a team with the legislature, and we did have some success.
Let's bring... Oh, he's back. Hey, look who it is.
Read thin.
The one and only Abdul Akib Shabazz. Welcome back to State House Happenings.
So what is it today? Guess who lost the mayor's race?
Well, that's why I'm so excited to have you both on together.
How's it going, Jeb? I've missed you.
Not so well now.
Hey, if you can't laugh at losing, what's the point in being here?
I know.
Well, I want to get into that here in just a little bit. Abdul Akib Shabazz joins us once again on State House Happenings. But let's talk about, you obviously covered Mike Pence for a long time. Abdul, are you surprised he's taking the plunge for president?
No, not really. Mike's always wanted to be president. Mike's looked in the mirror every day for like the past 20, 30 years and said, I can be president.
Yeah.
But then again, so have a lot of other people as well. So Mike officially jumping in the race doesn't surprise me at all. And it became abundantly clear when Mike was governor that he was getting ready to run for president, because he offered up the business personal property tax cut, did some cultural things, and was basically sort of a caretaker of Indiana. Unlike Mitch Daniels, had sort of the bold vision, visionary ideas to take Indiana forward. Mike's like, hey, let me get from 2012 to 2016.
When Mike Pence was governor, and Jim and I were talking about this as you sauntered into the studio here, I found it disappointing in terms of the things he talked about when he was running versus the things he accomplished. And look, you cover all arms, all corners of Indiana politics. I think that's sort of the conservative takeaway of Mike Pence. He didn't deliver on a lot of the things he promised.
Like I said, Mike was more of a caretaker governor. He was just basically, I'm just driving the car to get to 2016. Now, Mike took a couple detours along the way, Riffer being the worst of them all.
Well, that was a disaster.
That was a disaster just waiting to happen. And well, what's interesting, though, is when the whole world was falling apart and literally everything collapsing, Mike was at the governor's mansion. It was him. It was Rose McVeigh. It was Tom, who used to run the Jerusalem Post. Tom Rose and Bill Smith, his chief of staff. They were Rose McVeigh, and they were all there because Mike was frustrated over what to do.
Yeah,
and
how about the right thing?
Yeah, but how about not do it at all? And I'll never forget because what's his face? Tom Rose was like, you need to stay with this, you need to fight it, don't let the liberals win, blah 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 blah. Bill was like, we need to compromise. It was just a mess and a disaster. And the family was often like in Syria. Or Israel for like vacation. It was like Easter weekend. It was just a mess. I remember writing about this in the cheat sheet. And I remember Bill Smith like, well, how'd you find out about that? It's like, because that's what I do for a living.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that. I maintain Mike Pence. Jim, I'll start with you. I think Mike Pence is surrounded by what I have called and found to know as the gravy train brigade. And I have dubbed them that because those are people who for many, many years have hitched their wagon to Mike Pence. It has at various times included very prominent employment, and those people are going to be completely lost if Mike Pence isn't doing something that they can cling to like grim death. And I'm convinced the gravy train brigade, you know the names, we don't have to say them here, are the ones who've Abdul's laughing because he knows it's true, are the ones who've convinced
I've missed you so much, old friend, for the past 3 months.
Jim, am I wrong, though? I mean, he's surrounded by people who are totally dependent upon him for their power, their influence, their whatever.
Well, if you look at any presidential candidate or candidates statewide or local here, they do have their posse. They do have their support. And many times that people are gathered to an individual, a candidate, because of what they can do for them or what the candidate feels. Or, you know, Pence has a nationwide network of people that are wedded to him because of what he has done in Congress and what he did as vice president. And so it happens. People do surround a candidate, and there is a benefit. And so it's no surprise to me. I what I'm interested in, and Abdul, you touched on it, Mitch Daniels was a disruptor. And this state needs a disruptor now. Everybody's just really kind of status quo right now. And how is Pence going to run a presidential campaign? Is it going to be issues oriented, or is it going to be wide open? He always says that he's conservative, but not in a bad mood about it. How is he going to run for president?
Before you answer that, though, Abdul, please confirm the gravy train brigade for Mike Pence does exist. That is a thing, right?
I would argue all politicians have a gravy train brigade.
Of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Ours more like Purina Dog Chow. No, with Mike running for president, it'll be interesting to see what issues he stakes out in that circle of 10 candidates so far.
Yeah.
Right now, and then he's also announced in the same week as Chris Christie is, who we used to like Chris Christie until he became basically Donald Trump's whipping boy.
And now he hates Trump.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, whatever. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what position Mike takes up, because all Donald Trump has his core, 25-30% of Republican primary voters. That's his floor, his ceiling. So the more people who get in, the better he actually gets for Donald Trump. Because once again, all they're going to do is just divide up the anti-Trump or the non-Trump vote.
What's the, Abdul, you have obviously worked for high-profile campaigns. Jim, you have been a senator. Somebody had to sell him on this, right? I mean, some convoluted graph by which
No, Mike, I told you, Mike was sold on this from day one.
So he, even though he has no chance, I mean, let's be realistic. The guy has as much chance of being president as I do. I mean, it is a two-person race, DeSantis and Trump.
Well, but I disagree, because I argue in a presidential race, anything can happen between now and January, and now in the New Hampshire primary, and Iowa and South Carolina. So, and usually the person who's the front runner this early on, it does end up being the front runner at the end, unless you're like Hillary Clinton, you just totally clear the field.
Yeah, Pence is going to need breaks. It's like
people to break things, it sounds like.
It's like Jefferson Shreve running in Marion County. He's going to need breaks in the next 6 or 7 or 5 months in the November municipal election in Marion County. And so the Pence train, if you will, is going to need there's always implosions along the way. And he's going to need some help along the way. I don't know what poll he's looking at that shows that he's at 10% or 20% that gives you some life.
The one from the gravy train brigade. That's who the poll he's looking at. Please, we need jobs.
Yeah, but Rob, I'll tell you, you put Mike Pence in a diner in Iowa, he'll have everybody by the time he's finished. He is a great retail politician.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, Abdul Akib Shabazz. The program is State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Before we get to Abdul's run for mayor, let's talk about this. We would be remiss if we didn't mention it. Jim Lucas, State Rep Seymour, arrested, Wednesday morning. Allegations include DUI, also fleeing the scene of an accident down there. Near State Road 11 and Interstate 65 in southern Indiana. Jim, you have been a part of the state, or were a part of the State House for 30 years. You work with Lucas at all?
Yes, we have conversations, and he's kind of a hoot when he comes on here with you. Every week I get an email from the Public Servants Prayer, and coincidentally, Representative Lucas is on that to pray for him. And
everybody should.
Yes, everybody should. And I feel for him. I hope he doesn't have a problem with alcohol. But I think he needs to take care of it and talk to his constituents, talk to his caucus, and I hope and pray that he's okay.
Abdul, we talked about this yesterday, and you're obviously a lawyer. To me, when I look at this, just from a pure whatever issues Jim and I have had aside, the fleeing the scene is the big, I mean, the first one is the big one. Obviously, DUI is a very serious thing, not to anyway underscore that. But people have, you know, come back from that. Politicians have recovered or whatever. But that fleeing the scene, that's going to be a hard one to wiggle around and still stay in office. You're the lawyer. You know this better than I do. What say you?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, Jim should get a really, really good DUI. Jim Lucas should get a really good DUI attorney. Because number one, because that's what you need in a situation like this. Number one. Number two, if he's convicted of a felony, and then a lot of things will go into that equation. Do you plea bargain? Do you work out things with the Jackson County prosecutor? What goes on there? But the thing is, if he's convicted of a felony, then he has to step down because you cannot serve. You can serve up until the point you're convicted, but once you're convicted, then that's it. So the question is going to be for Jim. Obviously, you want to try to plea bargain as much as you possibly can. That'll, like, you know, look at your past record. Do you have any previous DUIs, any other previous criminal history, that sort of thing? But, or as part of the condition, like, hey, we'll drop it down to a misdemeanor if you'd agree to step down and go get yourself, you know, some kind of help.
Yeah. Abdul's exactly right. The fleeing, that is the sticky point. And it's alleged. He'll have his day in court. And, It's going to be very interesting to follow because he's a rock star in Southern Indiana, and for the cannabis trip along the way issue and the gun issue, he is held high, and so I just kind of wonder,
high as in esteem, not high as in high.
You just kind of wonder if he had a gun in the car. If he had his license, you know, there's just a lot of questions when it comes to Jim Lucas. Well,
and the police and the law enforcement has not released the results of his blood alcohol content.
And well, there's going to be body cam video. Obviously, yes. The report claims they saw him away from the vehicle walking. So, you know, who knows? And I said this yesterday, and I say it again. Jim and I have a interesting
roadrunner coyote relationship.
Interesting past. And I said this yesterday. I do not want to see this happen to anyone. And Abdul, you and I over the years have been given potential to do stories on people who we may or may not like. We have investigated those to the fullest. Sometimes we have found there's merit, and we no pun intended.
Right.
And we cover them. And there have been times where you and I were just talking about one yesterday where there's allegations, and even though I loathe the person, you look into it, it doesn't add up, you don't cover it, because you don't want personal demons to be the downfall of anyone. I want
only a couple of people I prefer their personal demons.
Of course, it's you, right? You want
one person in particular who you know quite well.
Well, I want to see Jim Lucas lose at the ballot box by the voters. That's how I wanted to see him go out, because that's voters rejecting his job in the state house. I don't want to see somebody's personal issues that endangers them and other people be the cause of this.
Well, you know, when you run for office, and Abdul experienced this, everything is out there
right
for you. Your record, your personality. Jim is a disruptor. And when you get to be in that spot, in that spotlight, it's bright and it's hot. And if it would have been any other legislator, we might not even know about it.
And the other thing, too, where I think it's important to remember in politics is it's one thing to be a disruptor. It's another thing to not have friends.
Yeah.
Because you need.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Because at the end of the day, something stupid is going to happen to everybody.
Yeah.
Because that's just the nature of life. However, when the stupid thing happens, when you have friends or at least decent relationships in a legislative body, the hammer doesn't come down as hard.
Or locally,
for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it was interesting because, and you got. I'll ask Abdul. I'll start with this with Abdul. I mean, that was a local story that broke this. It was the local paper there in Seymour. So, I mean, how does that? I'm not asking you to reveal how your sources per se work, but I mean, at 4 a.m., is somebody calling that reporter going, guess who just checked in here?
Actually, no, probably what happened was they used to do this when I was back in my radio reporter days. When you did the morning shift, you always called the state police. You made the cop calls in the morning.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, anything happened to the fire department? No, everything's good. And 9 out of 10 times, nothing happens at all. this just the one day. Well, yeah, there was this one state lawmaker.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why when I saw the Columbus Republic story, you texted me like 6 in the morning. It's like, yep, that happened overnight. When the person came in that morning and made the phone calls, that was a story.
Interesting. Rob Kendall, Dulgim Shabazz, Jim Merritt. The program is State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. And yes, everybody should pray for Jim Lucas that he gets the help he needs and does the right thing. All right, so you're back, Abdul.
We're back.
And now you two have something in common, and you're both very good-spirited about it. You both have attempted to become the mayor of Indianapolis. You're back with us. Your thoughts, are you glad you did it?
Yes. Number one, because as we talked about, as sort of the build-up to it, which took forever, and then the announcement, then the running, it was interesting, because I've been in politics, like I said, almost 30 years, either as a reporter or as an operative. So it was interesting to be a candidate, to learn just the little things that you can only learn when you're an actual candidate. And the one thing I learned particularly, and Jim, I'm sure you'll back me up on this, is that when you talk to regular people who are sort of outside the political bubble,
yeah,
you get one or two things, either some really good, really great ideas or some of the most stupid SH you know what you've ever heard in your entire life.
And I'm so glad you did it because, well, look, let's face it. There's no way you're going to beat a guy who's worth maybe $1 billion. There's just no way you're beating that guy in a primary, right? I mean, you had no idea that guy was going to run, and there's no way unless you – I mean, Barack Obama – could have been running, and there's no way you're beating a guy that's got $1 billion to spend in a mayoral primary.
Yeah, it would, to spend $2 million to spend that much money in a municipal primary, is, when I did my research, in Indiana was unheard of.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no question about it.
It's not like you lost to some guy who, you know, I mean, you didn't
John
lose.
John Couch.
Well,
yeah.
I was gonna say you didn't lose to that guy.
Right.
I mean, you lost to a guy who'd been on the council twice. He knows the rules of the road, and he has $1 gajillion.
Right.
How you gonna beat that?
Yeah. And as I jokingly told you guys, when I got home that night after the primary, my lovely wife, she was like, "Honey, I feel really sorry for you. You gave it a good shot. Now, can you get this stuff the hell out of my house?"
Yeah. Well, Jim, you and I have talked about this for years, that everybody should run for public office once.
At least precinct committeeman.
Yeah.
And, you know, Abdul, over the last couple of years, I think I needed some sort of personality test of why I did it. You know, I had $8,000 in the bank. I'd just come off a year campaign because I had a primary opponent in 18 and then a general election opponent. And I had $8,000 in my pocket in my campaign committee. I'm just not sure what I was thinking. I don't know if I fell on the sword for the party. I didn't have really the Republican Party united behind me. And it going and raising $1 million over 10 months was so difficult that and being the party chairman just prior to my campaign for mayor, I'm not sure what I didn't smoke anything, but
well, at least that's one of you.
edibles.
So anyway, I did it for my city, and I thought I did it pretty well, but it ended up not looking so good.
You've seen the lay of the land, Abdul. I maintain, even though Shreve is a very nice guy, he came on our Kendall and Casey show. He was great on there, super likable, great sense of humor, and a lot of money. I maintain it's going to be incredibly difficult for him to win, even having that monetary advantage. You have seen the lay of the land. What do you think?
I think Republicans can win Marion County. However, what Republicans have to say is you cannot win with Republicans alone. That math just doesn't work. You need moderate Democrats and independent voters to win. And I think Jefferson has a shot at reaching them because he has the financial resources to – you don't have to worry about raising money. So let's take money out of the equation. What Jefferson has to do is go to those moderate Democrats, go to those independent voters, like, hey, look, we've had 8 years of Joe Hogsett. Is the city better off than it was 8 years ago? Or was it better off – was 4 years ago? Or was it better off 8 days ago?
Right.
And you hit that message over and over and over again, and you go to people where – they are.
One of the things that I liked about the idea of you running against Joe Hogsett is I have no doubt on a debate stage you will ask Joe, you would have asked Joe Hogsett, where were you during the riots? What were you doing? Why did you disappear?
I think that's a key question.
Well, and we asked Shreve about it when he was on the show, and I think that's kind of the key question, as weird as that sounds, because I think it's something that will resonate with everyone. And I didn't get the feeling that he was all that passionate about sticking it to Hogsett on that issue, and it makes me wonder if he's got the stomach. Because I mean, this campaign, you got to get nasty to beat a guy like
you
Joe
have
Hoxha.
You have to have the stones. And I desperately wanted to talk about the nothing burger on 2500 City County Building, but my sense just didn't allow me to do it. But you're going to have to get the stones to ask the harsh questions. And I'm on record about this. I've said on these airwaves before that Jefferson Shreve or Abdul, whoever is going to run against the mayor, was going to need a break or two. There was going to have to be something that comes along the way. Like, for instance, if the election would have been held in 2020, I would have wanted to walk. I know this. But it didn't. It was in 2019. Where were you in the time of the riots in that week in May?
Which ironically was 3 years ago this week.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, it is a tough situation in Marion County. It's not even purple. It's red. And he is going to have to spend his own money. I've been invited to several fundraisers, and I just kind of wonder if people will give him money. And he's going to have to talk to the Republican Party. He's going to have to talk to the governor and the chairman of the party and say, will you support me in this campaign? Because they supported Cindy Carrasco, and look what happened to her. And so it is a big, big jump to win the mayor's race as a Republican. And I hope he does. Marion County needs somebody like that. That's a businessman that has the calmness and inviting aspect to Marion County.
I want to touch on this real quick. Abdul, we got about 2 minutes left. What's going on with judges in Marion County?
It's funny you ask. A lawsuit has been filed, basically saying that claiming that the way that we pick judges in Marion County violates the Voting Rights Act and is unconstitutional at the state and the federal level. Because unlike the other counties, with the exception of Lake, and I want to say, I think maybe like St. Joe and maybe like Allen, judges are elected. In Marion County, the judges are selected by a selection committee. Then those names are submitted to the governor. And so,
I welcome that because I wrote the law.
Because the argument is that it violates.
What do you think? Marion County voters are too stupid to pick their own judges? What was that? You wrote the law. What's the deal with that, Merritt?
I wanted everybody to have a chance to in the legal profession to be a judge. Number one, that's in Marion County, but more importantly, I felt as though this was a more fair process because we know that what. 5% of the people vote in a primary, and then in the general, very few do. And I felt like this is more fair.
Somebody told you that was going to hold up in court?
I wouldn't have written the law if that weren't the case.
All right, you're the lawyer, Abdul. I mean, I've thought this for a long time. How can you just have certain counties that elect people differently than other counties? What, you're the lawyer? Did Merritt do a good job, or did he go again?
Well, what you can argue in Marion County is because Marion County is a consolidated county, it gets treated differently.
Ah, is that what you hung your hat on?
Yeah, and high.
That's one thing that always distinguishes. When lawmakers say, hey, why does Marion County get special legislation? Because Marion County isn't like every other.
It's totally different.
It's a totally different creature.
It's a completely different place in the code for Marion County, city, county government.
What do you think? I mean, to me, it's like now I see both sides of it.
Well, I have an issue. You should have
done a better job all these years explaining that, Merritt. I might have felt differently.
I have an issue with judges being elected, period. Because I prefer judges be selected by a committee.
Well, what do you campaign on? Like, if you're even a Hendricks County judge, I will throw more people in jail than
exactly,
the other guy.
Exactly. Now, the flip side of that is, if judges do, like, really bad things, like, say, let mass murderers out, how do you hold them accountable?
Well,
you hold them accountable through retention. But then again, once again, you got to do the campaign.
In his home state of Illinois, they elect Supreme Court justices. And they also gerrymander them.
Uh-huh.
And the Democrat Party has, like, three in Cook County.
All right. Well, we will keep an eye on this. Hey, I'm so glad we're all back together.
Me
again.
Me too.
We got the band back together again.
Just everybody the way it should be. Abdullah Kibshabaz, Jim Merritt, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, Abdul-Hakim Shabazz. The program is State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Don't forget, you can find Jim Merritt on Twitter at @Jim_Merritt, @Jim_Merritt. You can find Abdul on Twitter at @ATTYAbdul, @ATTYAbdul. And you can find me on Twitter at Rob M. Kendall, @RobMKendall. And in addition to that, you can hear me weekdays 9 until noon, weekdays 9 until noon, The Kendall and Casey Show on 93.1 WIBC Radio in Indianapolis. For Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, for Jim Merritt, I'm Rob Kendall. You've been listening to State House Happenings.